Welcome to News Talk, and this is D.G. Martin. One of the exciting things for me every year in October is the West End Poetry Festival. We're talking today about, at this time, about the October 2017 festival scheduled for October 18th through 21st. But there are previous festivals and festivals to come. Gary Phillips, you brought two. You are the poet laureate. The current poet laureate of Carrboro, and you brought two of your many favorite poets to visit with us. Would you introduce them?
Absolutely. I'm really pleased to have Gideon and Abigail here. Gideon Young and Abigail Browning. They are the two youngest members of our Poets Council.
Oh, wow!
And very vibrant poets and very exciting poets. So.
Well, we've done this program on other occasions in October when the West End Poetry Festival is coming, and Gideon and you have each been there. But I'm so glad you've introduced us to Abigail. Well, Gary, tell us about poetry festivals past and present, and then introduce us to one of the feature poems by someone of y'all are featured in the 2017.
Excellent. This year's Poetry Festival is a bit of a radical departure because we've expanded from 2 days to 4 days. And so we begin with a poetry festival hosted by the Speakeasy at Tyler's Tap Room on Wednesday night that will also feature a film, a very beautiful film called Truth Underground, about three local poets and their struggles with their lives and their struggles with poetry. Then on Thursday night, we have a curated open mic poetry event with over 30 poets and a jazz band, Mahalo Jazz, with Beverly Botsford, probably the premier percussionist in our region, and Robbie Link, a great bassist, and Allison Wiener, who plays the piano and runs the band. So that's going to be a gigantic celebration that will end up with a circular open mic until midnight or later.
Wow.
Friday evening, we have five readers that have been determined through the Poetry Council. And then on Saturday, we have poetry from midday with workshops all the way to 8 o'clock at night.
I think it's we're talking about the October 2017 festival. If you're listening to us later, keep an eye out for following years.
Absolutely.
Always in October. But.
And for our events. Our charge is to bring poetry into the public life of Carrboro and the region. So we sponsor poetry readings throughout the year. We have a lot of other activities besides this particular festival.
And how much is it going to cost me?
Nothing. It's all free. Everything's open and free.
That's great. Gary, thanks for telling us about that. In connection with the 2017 festival, there is a lead poet?
Yes, we have three featured readers. We have Jackie Shelton Green, who's famous and was our poet laureate for the Piedmont, and also a member of the North Carolina Literary Hall of Fame. We have Paul Richmond, who is the Beat Poet Laureate from the state of Massachusetts, who's coming down to MC the curated poetry event on Thursday night. And we have Tyree Day, who read for us maybe 4 years ago at our festival and since then has become a rising star. His poems were published in this issue of the National Poetry Review. And he has a new book out called River Hymns that focuses, among other places, on North Carolina. He grew up in North Carolina. He's of Gullah heritage, and he writes about
North Carolina.
Wow. Yes,
I mean, we just got a little thin slice.
Just a little thin slice down near the South Carolina line. Yes, very, very fine man. Very fine poet.
What is his appeal in a metropolitan, non-rural kind of?
Well, as I told Gideon when we were sitting outside, that one of the things I love about him is he uses old themes with a new twist. And in each of his poems, there's a hook that I think is very powerful.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't bring us a poem you could read.
I did.
You did?
I have one of Tyree's, one of the ones that was published in the National Poetry Review.
Feel like you can read his work?
Oh, I feel like I can,
yeah. Let's do it. Tell us the name of the poem and a little bit of background.
So he has a new book out that's gotten a lot of attention. Every single copy was sold at Flyleaf when I went by to get one yesterday. And it's called River Hymns. and it focuses on the rivers of his life. And one of those rivers is the Neuse, which is very well known to us and is one of our major watersheds.
So the Neuse passes by Raleigh on its way to the coast through the low-level towns, and it tends to flood. We read when there are heavy rains or hurricanes, that the towns along those rivers pay the price.
That's right. Well, and I think he refers to this in this short little poem. This is called Neuse River.
When you read it, maybe you could get Abigail and Gideon to react to the poem.
Oh, yeah. I'd love that. That would be fantastic. Tell them not to go to the banks alone. Tell them where they can drink without watching over their shoulders. Tell them drowning is third on the list of concerns. First is lie down. Second, come here. Even the water I was baptized in isn't safe. I knew God was a man because he put a baby in Mary without her permission.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's tremendous.
Abigail, explain this poem to me. This is. Can I just say that it sort of caught me off guard?
Absolutely. I think that that's one thing that poetry is so wonderful at doing, is helping put us off guard so we can be placed in another world or in another way of thinking.
Amen.
And we asked Tyree to send us some thoughts about poetry, and we asked him what makes poetry important today. And Tyree said, and I think it goes well with this poem, "For me, poetry and music is something I go to when I can't bear the world anymore. In these times, it's nice to have another world to go to." And I feel like this poem is a way for him to create another world to both see and go into.
I think there's a lot of wisdom
this
in that.
Gideon, yeah.
Yeah, Gideon Young here. I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you said there, Abigail, and I think bringing that idea forth is in that poem, the Neuse River, I hear. I think one of the important things is Tyree Day's heritage and cultural background, and I think there is like this wonder about the world and wonderfulness about the world, but there is also things going on that are not comfortable. And I think, the things in that poem resonate with me, being African-American, being brown. And I think there is like a safe space of imagination or wondering. But the real world is even there too, and the river is beautiful, but it is also dangerous. And I think there's a metaphor for the world today and the world in the past, and maybe not the world of the future, which is the all the time hope.
Right.
Well read, Gary. Thank you.
I think it's very powerful for him to say, "Not even the water I was baptized in is safe."
What is unsafe about the Neuse? Is it the chemicals that are being released that might make it undrinkable or dangerous to drink? Or is it the flood that might occur? Is it the possibility that you'll drown in the river? Or is there an overreaching danger as an African-American male that anywhere is dangerous, particularly in the isolated places on the river?
I think you've made a great list, and I think it includes all of those things. I think that what you just said was very prescient, that's something we all feel. The Neuse River contains enough hog feces to populate a city of about 360,000 people. So that has repercussions to the entire ecosystem and to everybody who lives near that environment. But every other thing that you mentioned is also just as important. And I think that's what he means to do. I think with that dense little line, he takes on our anxiety with the world in a way that is really important and really clear.
What are you thinking, Gideon?
I'm thinking another key point there is when you talk about Tyree's rhythm and Tyree's music, I think you do need to pay attention to what you hear. And I think when you hear Noose River, you hear the word noose. And mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot
of... Oh, my God, yeah. I haven't even gotten there.
Yeah. And I think that's where some of these ideas kind
You
of
don't
combine.
Spell it the same way, but it sounds
right,
the same
that's
way.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Gideon, let me Excellent. Say, I was knocked off guard by the last... God is a man giving woman a child without permission. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a sock. He'd warned me up with all these little punches to the tummy, and then he hits me in the jaw with that one. I don't know. That knocked me out, but I don't know where did that fit in the poem?
I think it refers back to what Gary was talking about, how Tyree kind of mixes the old or expected with these new ideas. And I think as a North Carolinian poet, I think having this idea of maybe not falling into the traditional respect of religion or something with that line. And I think that's...
It was like he's going to take his knee. He's going to take his Kaepernick knee now. That here... We've done the national anthem. It's all over. But wait a minute.
That's right.
I gotta kind of punch this
That's
and
right.
say I'm standing up to protest everything. I'm protesting everything. Am I taking it too far?
No, I don't think so. And I think, that's the complicated nature of the world today. There's so much to protest and there's so much to resist. And that comes back to the theme of the West End Poetry Festival 2017, mm-hmm.
Thank
but also
you for
the
mentioning
theme
that.
For the past and the theme for the future. And poetry is, poetry resists in the nature of itself by being explicit, by being precise. And I think being precise requires you to be thoughtful. And being thoughtful is a resistance in all matters of the world. And I think... By ending the poem that way and bringing up such a contentious for many folks point or saying something blatant allows the reader to then bring up all these other points in the poem and recognize that this poem stands for something or offers a perspective that's alternative. And therefore, we need to consider the other alternative perspectives that are present within that poem. And it almost... It enables anything to be said. It enables any perspective to be thought about and talked about and regarded.
In all of his poetry, he moves into personal space and then out into public space in ways that are really powerful, in a way that tries to inform each to each. It's almost like a conversation. So you're right. It is like a jab. It's a jab to... his consideration of the patriarchy or of men-led society as the force that affected the water that he was baptized in.
Gary, we could talk about this poem the whole time, but for people who joined, some people joined us late and wondering what we're talking about. So let's close this section with, if you would you read the poem again?
Sure, I'd love to. It's called Noose River. Tell them not to go to the banks alone. Tell them where they can drink without watching over their shoulders. Tell them drowning is third on your list of concerns. First is lie down. Second, come here. Even the water I was baptized in isn't safe. I knew God was a man because he put a baby in Mary without her permission.
Well, if you did join us late, I'm visiting with three of the Carborough poets, Abigail Browning, Gary Phillips, and Gideon Young. All this is in connection with the 2017 October 18th through 21st West End Poetry Festival. We'll all be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. If you join us late, I'm visiting with three Carborough poets. And we're doing this in the context of the annual West End Poetry Festivals. And this time we're talking specifically about the 2017 version. Gary Phillips is the poet laureate.
Yes.
Carver, you've read a poem, and now you're going to introduce us to another one of these great poets.
I'd like to introduce you to a great poet and a great friend, Gideon Young, who's a poet full of surprises. The last time I read with him in public, he brought a flute and a collection of haiku. And it was so much fun. People talked to me about it for days afterward. So Gideon's a man of many gifts.
So, I mean, you love music too.
Mm-hmm.
And the
absolutely
the partnership between the spoken word or the written word and music is a powerful one, often not taken advantage of.
That's right.
In the terms of, but if you turn somebody's music mind and then deliver some content,
right,
it's very powerful.
So that's what hip hop is. That's what spoken word's about. That's what one of our goals as Poetry Council is, to kind of connect the spoken word to the musical world and make some sense out of it that people really want to. We believe that's a really important connection.
Well, Gideon didn't bring his flute today, but next time we'll get him to bring the flute.
I know. I was thinking, boy, I should have brought it or something. Maybe I'll sing the beginning of the poem or something.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's get some time to Gideon.
So I brought a poem today, and I want to put it in, use DG's word here, put it in the context of the theme for the 2017 Poetry Festival, which is the poetry of resistance. And in thinking about this, the Carborough Poets Council thought about a lot of different ways to think about resistance. I think there's classical ways to think about it. There's the first way you just thought about. But there's also aging, change, stereotypes, work, labels, hopelessness, kitsch, exercise, incarceration, the regime, resistance. Resist sentimentality, apathy, binaries, norms, strictures. There's a lot of things we can resist. And the context of the poem I'm going to read, I think, sort of thinking about celebration. And I think the celebration of things is an important part of resistance because it highlights that which you're resisting. So this poem has some celebration. I'm an elementary school teacher by trade. I teach teachers now, but this poem is entitled Third Graders. They create 10 small models, 2 each. Sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. The care Nichelle takes to color her Jupiter storm and layers. We hot glue gun them to popsicle sticks. They dramatize the heat. On the last day before spring break, we go outside behind the school to the field nobody uses. We plunk the sun in the pitching mound. The clay is caked and setup is a struggle. Alex and Christian each hold maps, the charts of relative distances. Mercury is 1 step from the sun. Venus is 2 steps. Earth is 2.5. Mars 4, Jupiter 13. We forgot our model of Saturn in our classroom, so I push my red pen deep into clay. Other planets have fallen in the wind. We balance with rocks. Now we 5 all streak together, counting as we stride to Uranus, to Neptune, 76 steps. The last now, 100 steps from the sun to Pluto. We decide to run. Our hearts leap, the grass sparkling green. 88, 89, 90, we are peeling. 100! Rashim jams Pluto into the grass. Looking back from beyond the outfield, they marvel. How is the Earth so close to the sun? But I look up and it's so far away. And we're here with Pluto. And where is it way out there? We've sent machines to Pluto? Their eyes and mouths open.
Wow.
Great job.
Thank you.
Gideon is a teacher.
Well, Gary, this is, this kind of knocks me off my feet because he's talking about resistance, 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 and then he brings us this poetry and wonderful words that are said in the context of the most wonderful at least to me, it takes me back to this happy time of when, as a child, I'm exploring and learning all at the same time, and some wonderful teacher is making this right. fun for me, delightful and challenging, trying to help me agree to something which is seems almost impossible, that Pluto could be so far away and we're so close when we see all of this. So, I mean, so my question to you, Gideon,
I'm ready.
What does this have to do? I'm happy that you leave resistance behind for a moment and bring me this happy poem.
I think all those things you said.
I missed something. Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think how you just expressed yourself as delighted and learning and exploring and thinking. I think those are the things that this poem is resisting. I think this poem resists the opposite of those things. And so I think this poem is celebrating the idea of togetherness. It celebrates artwork. It celebrates people working together. It celebrates childhood. It celebrates wonder. It celebrates marvel. It celebrates the earth, the universe, our questions. And because it celebrates those things, it resists alternative perspectives to that.
It resists resistance.
In a way, and I think it resists apathy. It resists. It resists a lot of the things that people sometimes become inhibited by, or they think that there's too much out there, or the idea of Pluto being so far and yet being so close. Uniformity.
What I really like is this idea that we're always learning again, and we're always able to change our perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think that what learning does is allows us to resist the truths that we think exist. And that poem shows us how all ages are able to engage in a very playful but also deliberate adventure towards learning and exploring a wider universe than they thought imagined before.
This was Abigail Browning commenting. We're going to have her read a poem in just a minute. Gary, what was your reaction to the poem? This is not the first time you've heard it.
No, this is the first time I've heard this particular poem. But this is the second or third poem that I've heard of Gideon's in which he builds a community that include children. And in my mind, there is no better resistance to a dangerous world than to build a community of love, attention, and respect. And I see that in all of his poetry. And I think that's the deep knell bell of resistance.
Well, thank you, Abigail, and thank you, Gary. I appreciate both those. That made me feel good.
You just want to bask in the warmth of the... You don't resist any of these wonderful things we've said about your poem.
No, I don't.
Absolutely. Good.
And I think that there's other perspectives out there universe, as Abigail said.
Gideon, before we take a break, would you read that poem one more time?
Absolutely. Third graders. They create 10 small models, 2 each. Sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. The care Nichelle takes to color her Jupiter storm and layers. We hot glue gun them to popsicle sticks. They dramatize the heat. On the last day before spring break, we go outside behind the school to the field nobody uses. We plunk the sun in the pitching mound. The clay is caked and setup is a struggle. Alex and Christian each hold maps, the charts of relative distances. Mercury is 1 step from the sun. Venus is 2 steps. Earth is 2.5. Mars 4, Jupiter 13. We forgot our model of Saturn in our classroom, so I push my red pen deep into clay. Other planets have fallen in the wind. We balance them with rocks. Now we 5 all streak together, counting as we stride to Uranus, to Neptune, 76 steps. The last now, 100 steps from the sun to Pluto, we decide to run, our hearts leap, the grass sparkling green, 88, 89, 90, we are peeling, 100. Rashim jams Pluto into the grass. Looking back from beyond the outfield, they marvel. How is the Earth so close to the sun? But I look up and it's so far away, and we're here with Pluto, and where is it way out there? We've sent machines to Pluto? Their eyes and mouths open.
Well, that's Gideon Young, and together with Abigail Browning and Gary Phillips, we're celebrating Carborough Poets and the annual West End Poetry Festival. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with three Carborough poets, Abigail Browning, Gary Phillips, and Gideon Young. If you were with us in the last segment, Gideon read and we discussed a beautiful poem. And Gary, can you persuade Abigail to share one of her poems?
I hope so. I'm excited about this. I love to hear Abigail read. She has a beautiful voice. And each of the poems that she has shared with me have come from a different perspective in the universe. And I really like that. So I think she's probably brought something special. And I'm anxious to hear it. Let's go.
Well, thanks, Gary. I really appreciate that. I'm going to read a poem called A Conservatory for Wolves. And just a few notes. The main person I'm speaking to, named Helene Grimald, is a pianist, a classical pianist. Chopin is also a classical pianist. So there will be a lot of piano imagery throughout. A Conservatory for Wolves. Helene Grimald transforms Chopin into wild percussive hammers, the piano her anvil, my feminine Hephaestus. When not playing, she maintains a conservatory for wolves. With Alawa and Zephyr in my pack, I'm sure I'd feel the same as Helene playing Polonaise and A, pushing each chord into a bright military howl. I see eyes spark within the sound, a stain of red and yellow. She tracks the final diminuendo, the world's end, the night's end. She and I know at best self can only be self, and wolves are never tame. I've played those same notes alone, wishing I could play them for you, my ring finger stretching to fill the alpha male of Chopin's work. He wrote for bigger hands, and mine ache. We are a pack of two, Grimald and I, scavenging these grand staff fences for what is classical, what is evolving, the polished whorls and loops of our fingertips, marking the keys with our final coda. I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, like you.
Mm. Ooh.
Wow, beautiful poem, and so thank rich you. With the poetic imagery, yeah. And the musical imagery, and just the extended metaphor of the music continuing all the way through, and so complex with the wolves and nature and feminine progress and musical progress and diminuendos and codas and crescendos and Chopin and Polonaise and just the classicalness of it, and something that's always been, and we have an expectation of a classical music, and you flip it and you turn it and you allow for a whole different perspective on music and how one expresses themselves through music. I'm excited for later when you read it again.
Okay.
Me too.
Well, what did you miss? There were so many strands that I'm sure I missed some of them. I'm struggling to make connection with
Gideon. I can't wait to hear it read again. Because there are pieces I would follow, and then I'd fall off, and I'd climb back up again. And I love a poem that also uses words that I'm not familiar with.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just love that. Uh-huh. It kind of excites me. But the other thing that I really loved about the poem was the bridge, which is a musical term as well as a metaphorical term, between the classic music and the wolves.
Yeah, where were those wolves? I mean, they're mixed in. Were the wolves playing the pieces? I mean, they were actually, so their paws were challenged by the Chopin's demanding a great reach. Is that what you were seeing?
Well, I mean, Abigail? So Grimold actually has this conservatory for wolves, right? And so this idea that this pianist also has this space for other creatures who also sing with their howls. Was really compelling to me. And the idea that we think of wolves as alpha, and that this pianist gets challenged with her interpretations of a very alpha classical.
Is she playing for the wolves? Are the wolves just listening and howling?
Well, that's a good question. I just imagined the wolves as integrated with her psyche and how how women have to form our own packs in order to feel safe and secure, and how sometimes it can feel very lonely, like blazing trails or pushing boundaries. So I was saying, I was trying to say, you know, this is a person who is willing to create a pack with me, and then I can identify with that struggle.
When you wrote the poem, were you, I'm into this now about writers and the kinds of music that some of them need to have to support them as they're writing. And so were you listening to Chopin and Polonaise when you were writing this? Over and over again?
Well, I am a classically trained pianist, and so I think about that when I'm playing any musical piece, whether it's jazz or Chopin or Rachmaninoff, and how it really, the physicality of it does hurt my hands because I have small hands. And
so it was you.
Yes.
You were the pianist in there. I see that now.
Yeah.
And I love that metaphor of the stretching the ring finger out to capture the note.
Well, is Chopin your favorite composer, notwithstanding the difficulties that he creates for you?
Yes, I would say so. I love Rachmaninoff because he surprises me with his chords. But Chopin, every piece that I play has such an emotional tenor that I can identify with.
I think this poem is a chord. There's many different notes being played. And I think one of the, like music, the absence of music is also music. A rest is also music. And interpretive as well, how long you rest, how the music fades before you rest, or how you bring the music back in. And I think that something that is happening with this poem is imagery behind it. And I think the imagery behind it is creating this space of a night, a moonlit night, perhaps, where the wolves are, and they're calm and they're prowling, but they're also aware of their predatory state or their top or peak or wherever they are in the food chain as powerhouses. And I think that's something that you bring forth with the power of this poem is that you say that there's pushing boundaries, but I think that there's you're aware of your power, just like the wolves.
Again, it's the howl saying, I'm here.
That's right.
Just trying to make space to say, I'm here.
Abigail, you got to read.
Would you
read this again for
us? Of course. A conservatory for wolves. Helene Grimaud transforms. Let me start again.
Okay.
A conservatory for wolves. Helene Grimaud transforms Chopin into wild percussive hammers. The piano, her anvil, my feminine Hephaestus. When not playing, she maintains a conservatory for wolves. With Alawa and Zephyr in my pack, I'm sure I'd feel the same as Helene playing Polonaise and A, pushing each chord into a bright military howl. I see eyes spark within the sound, a stain of red and yellow. She tracks the final diminuendo, the world's end, the night's end. She and I know it best, self can only be self, and wolves are never tame. I've played those same notes alone, wishing I could play them for you, my ring finger stretching to fill the alpha male of Chopin's work. He wrote for bigger hands, and mine ache. We are a pack of two, Grimald and I, scavenging these grand staff fences for what is classical, what is evolving. The polished whorls and loops of our fingertips, marking the keys with only our final coda. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Like you.
Well, if you joined us late, we're visiting with Abigail Browning, who was just reading Geary Phillips and Gideon Young, and we'll be right back to talk some more about Poets in Carrboro and the West End Poetry Festival. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Abigail Browning, Gideon Young, and Geary Phillips. Geary is the Poet Laureate of Carrboro, and we're talking about the annual West End Poetry Festival, always in October. Our discussion now is being recorded in the context of the 2017 Poetry Festival, October 18th through 21st. Lots of events, all free to the public. And Geary, you've had your shoulder to this wheel, but you're also a big poet. So, as Poet Laureate of Carrboro, did you bring a poem that you'll read for us?
I did. I tried. I like to read something that's unfinished. This is a poem. This is the last poem I've written, and it explains itself.
So it's a work in progress.
Yes.
We might suggest a change or two.
Yeah, we might. I would appreciate that. That would be a treat. It's called Strike for Beauty, Not for Speed. If you are lucky enough to have a mother alive, you will visit her in some small North Carolina town and give her kisses. Then make your way to Greensboro, where you can spend the night and a pint of rye in an ancient hotel with a freight elevator. Sleep and brace yourself. Strike for beauty, not for speed. Rising in the morning, ride Old 29 all the way to Lynchburg, where you will take a lunch overlooking the roiling James River. Now choose a road to cross the gap and climb the Blue Ridge, setting your cruise control for 40 miles an hour and shifting to third gear so you can control the downhills. Take 2 solid hours of meditation and drive all the way up to the Gap, all the way to Vesuvius, overlooking House Mountain, overlooking Indian Gap and Crabtree Falls, the deep valley of the Maori, from Glasgow to Montebello, where you should take a short track west to meet one of the most beautiful interstate highways in America, Route 81. Strike for beauty, not for speed. Here you can make time if time is what you want, hurtling the Shenandoah Valley, the Susquehanna Valley, aiming like an arrow to the Great Connecticut. But first there is Scranton, an 84 east toward Hartford, an easy route. But you will turn off in the town of Fishkill, New York, and take the Taconic State Parkway for a solid 60 miles of bliss, driving by Rhinebeck, New York, in the beginning of the fall, a town where you slept with a girl once at the Crow Hill School who fluttered against you like a bird. You were 19 and very, very green. Another thing, it was the first time you ever crossed the Mason-Dixon line, hitchhiking for 3 days without a coat and finding yourself in bed with a lovely, fluttering bird girl. It was almost too much. And as the New York hills fall below you, you will say a prayer of thankfulness for the girl, for the Taconic, for the time of your life, for the time you are having. Now it's easy peasy, just orchards and hill towns, all the way to the back door of Leverett, to your friend's arms, a shelter and a grace. It's the way I travel, not road to road, but place to place.
Ooh, wow.
Nice.
A combination of past memories and current interstate hard road. I shouldn't jump in, but because
go right ahead.
But Robert Morgan has written a who's also a great North Carolina
poet. Yes, no, I love Robert Morgan.
Written a book about an escaped slave making his way from North Carolina all the way, mm-hmm. and on some of these pathways that you describe, right. including Great Interstate, all the way to Ithaca.
Right.
Stop making these stops, Absolutely. Some of which you describe. And that I wanted to travel with you.
Sure. I resist the big highways because there's so much out there on the blue highways.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a nice connection back to the title. Not about being so quick on the journey, but enjoying the places and maybe even meandering out of the, you know, the most direct line between two points. But
I have to put my foot on the brakes of this wonderful poem and this wonderful discussion because we're out of time. And if you want to hear
more about this, come
visit either this year in October 2017 or next year or the following year in October.
As always, it was a treat.
And for me, too.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks to Abigail Brown and Gary Phillips and Gideon Young. Thanks to you for listening. This is E.G. Martin, who's talking. I'll be right back soon. Hope to see you again.